But when I say the word clown, what do you immediately think of? Funny, silly people in bright costumes, the circus or the rodeo? But what about peaceful? Not a term that you would normally associate with clowning around. But our next guest is using the age-old art of clowning to spread a message of peace in the community. Susan Carew is Peaceful the Clown. Good morning and welcome to you.
Good morning. And you know how other people identify clowns?
Yeah.
Down in Canberra, you know that. One of my fantasies was to stand up in Parliament and go, "You're all clowns." Like, but they wouldn't let me in.
Were you dressed like that?
Yeah, I actually did go to Parliament, Federal Parliament, as a clown.
Yeah.
They had a civil society conference on at Federal Parliament, and I decided to go to the conference to show diversity, if you like. And it was actually the first day of question time, and I thought maybe my dream can come true. But they had already labelled me a POI, person of interest, and they wouldn't let me in there, even though I vote.
Even though you vote.
God.
But it's the way you dress, Susan. I don't know if anybody's drawn that to your attention. But
no, they haven't.
You're scary. I mean,
I'm not scary.
You're confronting.
Am I?
Yeah.
You were very nice to me when I walked in.
Oh, well,
I've had
time to get to know. What I mean is I can understand.
Is that confronting to you? Let's do a test.
It's getting less confronting as we go along. But what I mean is it's one thing to be a happy, you know, joyous, clowny person. But the minute you put something on like you've got on, I think that tends to... Now, you would probably argue with me and say, no, it's exactly the opposite. But I think that almost puts a barrier between us because you're dressed the way you are.
Darling, and I'm just... darling, it's the table that's the barrier between you and I. There need not be one.
But I'm just boring conventional clothes. And
no,
look at you.
To me, you're not. To me, you're gorgeous. I can see you.
Okay. Peaceful the Clown. You've been doing a fair bit of travelling around the southeast, talking to many of the service clubs. But before we get to that, and I want to ask you, so it's a case of... You've been in Australia, you know, 2 days. What do you think of the country? That sort of question. But
Australian.
The person I think of, because some of the work you do is with children and sick children as well, and the person that comes to mind, of course, internationally is Patch Adams, Dr. Patch Adams.
Yes.
You've met him and worked with him, actually.
I have. I went to Russia. His brother, Wildman, invited me to the United States back in 2002 after I finished peace studies. And the reason they invited me was because I just wrote a letter to them saying that I was into peace. I saw he was into peace and I'm a clown, he's a clown. And I thought maybe we can meet. And so his brother invited me to Russia, where I met 40 other clowns from all over the world. So it was awesome.
All dressed up or they?
They are all dressed up and many of them were lay people. They were not trained clowns.
Really?
Some were professionals. And the whole essence of Patch's trips is called healing through humour.
Mm.
And it's essentially getting a small group of people together as what he terms a tribe and giving loving service to people. Now, what Patch says is this might seem extraordinary in a world that's unloving, but in a normal world where we're all loving, this is nothing. It's just being human. So in a sense, the actual clown suits are not so much a barrier. They actually facilitate communication and joy, because as soon as they see us, people start laughing, you know, and we can hug them and shake their hands and, you know.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's not a scowl that came on my face at all. It was a my first reaction was a smile, obviously, because that's fun, the way you look. Peace studies. What encouraged you to study and how do you study peace?
Well, good questions, all of them. I felt inspired by Helen Caldicott. Do you remember the anti-nuclear activist? I saw her on ABC television, actually, and I had a feeling to contact her. So I did, and... I wrote to her, she wrote back, and an afterthought, I sent my CV, and she sent me her telephone number. So I drove 2,000-kilometre round trip from Melbourne to Matcham to meet Helen, and it was through Helen that I got inspired to continue with peace, even though there's no career path, apparently, with it, and study peace studies at La Trobe University. Helen had also done a protest in New York with Patch Adams called The Naked Truth, where they actually walked naked in New York. I thought that was brave.
Did they really?
Yeah, truly.
Oh, my Lord.
Can you imagine that?
No, don't.
Don't think about it. Ignore that thought.
Ignore that thought. All right.
So getting back to your second question, peace studies.
Yeah.
Fantastic course they had at La Trobe. It's now gone because Dr. Tom Waber is retired. But he was one of the foremost Gandhians in the world. He wrote lots of books on Gandhi. And essentially Gandhi's message is satyagraha, which is holding on to truth and love. So the peace studies and the clowning are a natural fit. When I was in Russia, I saw that we're giving love to people and they're responding. Peace is really at its essence is about loving yourself and loving others. It's learning peaceful skills, you know, cooperation, critical thinking, anti-bullying, conflict resolution. Lots and lots of ways that we develop peace within our world. There was Dr. Stella Cornelius who talked about the Department of Peace back on in the International Year of Peace. She was based in Sydney. So she was saying that instead of having departments of defence, we should have departments of peace where we actually focus on resolving conflict at its deepest levels.
Hmm.
So look, this field is new, like came really alive in the 60s. Johan Gultung would be one of the fathers of peace research. But it is new and it's not well understood. It's still seen as peacenicky and anti-war and, you know.
Yeah, I can understand that. Can you and I, we're getting on all right now, but can you and I actually have an argument, a difference of opinion, a conflict?
Of course.
But still do it under peaceable conditions?
Of course. And you would do this all the time on radio. You know, you'd be talking to people who have divergent views. And because of your mindset, you're open to that diversity of thinking. So, yes, it's not about winning the argument in a competitive sense. It's about self-expression.
Mm.
And when we start to understand that, of course, people are not going to think the same. They're not meant to. But we can learn from, I mean, I've sat with people with completely divergent views and been interested, you know. I'm not here to win the argument. I'm just here to express.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is as good for United Nations as it is for the home kitchen, the home fire, the domestic situation?
Look, what it really is it's a shift in the way we see and the shift in the way we think. Yes, once we start to embody the idea that I'm not here to win against you, I'm here to actually celebrate being here with you and having fun, and that we actually grow from the diversity of ideas and the tension creates creativity. It doesn't have to turn out to be violence or abuse, which is not conflict.
Yeah.
There's a real separation between the two. Yeah.
Have you actually tried, I don't want to say have you failed, but have you been in a situation where you've walked into a room like this, and it worked here because we all laugh at you and we're all happy.
I laugh with you too.
But that someone, you just can't get through, that they just won't.
Yeah, but we're not here to get through. It's not my job to make you believe what I think. It's simply my job to be myself. But if I sense that you're getting tense about it, then I back off. You know, that's compassion. You know, in this world where you've got to think like me, you know, I'm Labor, I'm Liberal, and you're the other, you're the enemy, and we're going to bring you down.
Yeah.
This competitiveness is very destructive and it's a waste of energy. I actually wrote a children's parliament, which was a non-adversarial one, and it's really about learning conflict resolution and generating creative ideas like through de Bono techniques, etc. We can do it differently, absolutely.
You would like to see peace studies become a curriculum item in our schools?
With the arts embodied within, because we're becoming over intellectualized. It's not about thinking it all through. It's about actually connecting to our feelings and emotions, which everyone's in denial of. They go, oh no, I don't want to go there. It's too painful.
Yeah.
But we actually have to go there in order to heal ourselves, in order to be happy. And my work is really about gross national happiness, I'd say. Moving
GNH.
Yeah, that's butane. Butane. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That was coined there. But I actually think we can. I was trained as an economist, and I can't see why we can't move from GDP to gross national happiness and start to put a lot of our energy into what makes us happy, doing the work that makes us happy. We can change things.
Well, you can tell me to mind my own business, but is there money in what you're doing?
Not a lot.
Being an economist? I mean, was it the best thing you could do to take on this?
I could have been on $100,000, but no, I'm on hardly anything now. But one of the things I'd really like to emphasise to people listening to this, you don't need the money. Money comes when it comes. I live in a very interesting lifestyle, which most people would not want to live in the sense that I don't actually have my own home. I move around. And I haven't found the money issue a problem at all. People support when they know that you're about peace and that you're really genuine. People will give you a place to stay or your house sit, or you'll find ways. I've never been happier than I am today.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, because I know myself.
All right. Do you remember the sad times though?
Oh yeah, that's what really cultivates the wisdom and the strength of self and the inner strength to keep continuing with something. So I'm not adverse to sad, you know, the sorrow and the happiness as they have that image.
Yeah.
I think that's part of being human. But if you use your sadness as a means of motivating yourself to really reach higher, to try harder, to seek to understand, you'll be amazed at what you can overcome.
Yeah. You're known, and you've been visiting the Rotary Clubs locally, to a Rotary Peace Scholar. Now,
yep.
scholar, as someone who sits and learns. I mean, you're hardly sitting still long enough to take it all in. But what is meant by a scholar? Is this someone who do what you're doing now, going from club to club and talking to them?
Well, Rotary, this is the year Peace Through Service for Rotary International. Mm. So all the Rotary clubs are focusing on this. I'm a Rotary scholar because I went to Chulalongkorn University in Thailand for 3 months, and I did a very unique course which had practitioners from all over the world come to this course. They had academics from all the peace universities around the world that are
there
Rotary.
There are peace universities?
Rotary actually has a number of universities around the world where they're actually training people in peace. In Bangkok, that program's a very practical program, so you learn theory and practice. We travelled up to northern Thailand. We went across to Cambodia to the killing fields. We sat with the Khmer Rouge. We went to HIV clinics, and we applied the theoretical knowledge to real life situations. And I also did some clowning in some slums to connect with the people and a hospital.
How did they take to you?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I've clowned all over the world in 2010, and it's the same thing. It's a universal archetype, is the clown. And it's not as that people are not scared in third world like they are here because of the movies. Don't watch the movies. They actually love clowns, and they know that you're a funny person. They may not have never seen a clown or learned about a clown, but the minute you turn up, like the one I went to was a 40,000 slum. This was a huge slum of Burmese. They'd just come out of the jungles from Burma, and they were smiling, and the kids, they all chased us, and we did some theatre with them and juggling and things like that. Yes. And it was just beautiful.
I certainly don't even know half of what you know about other cultures, but I get the impression that Burmese and Thai people have got a happy disposition anyway, where you take this to cold old England or even Russia where you've been, you know, the dour faces. And do you see a difference in culture from culture culture?
Yeah, the Western cultures are more serious, you know, and they are because we're creating lives where we're very busy.
We're busy.
And we don't have time for that frivolous stuff.
No,
you know? It's like,
that's my point.
Take me seriously.
Yes, know? That's right.
No, I won't. And I think we're just in patterns, far more controlled societies in the Western societies. The third world is far more open and people are kind of on the streets. And, you know, we went to India in September with, I went with 14 clowns. And you can imagine three tuk-tuks full of silly Aussie clowns. And we went to Mother Teresa's orphanage, and we went to abandoned women and kids that were deaf. It was just fantastic. And the look in their eyes, I'll tell you, Stan, when you see that spark in people's eyes, there's nothing better. Hmm. There's no money that can compensate you for that sort of beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want it to spread, obviously. You'd like it to spread. Do girls make better clowns than boys?
No, it's never a question of gender.
It's a question
of heart. The clowns that are the best ones, in my view, are the ones that love openly and fully the people they're with. We're not a mask, actually. Believe it or not, we wear the mask.
I must point that out to listeners. You're zanely dressed, but your face is clean.
I've kept my face clean.
Do you use one?
Today?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I'm doing a workshop with teachers after this, and some might have phobias, so I'm being sensitive to the people in the crowd.
Teachers having phobias?
Look, in the population, there's always one or two. And I haven't been briefed as to if there is one, so I thought I'd just make it a bit safer for them. But I'll be going to Rotary tonight, a number of clubs in Mount Gambier, and I'll dress as full clown. Mm. So I'm not a white-faced clown. I have, you know, a peace symbol and a love heart and colours.
You know, one of the most famous paintings, and I don't know who did it, but was the crying clown. You know, there was a beautiful clown face. Happy and everything, but there's a tear running down his face, you know?
You know what that tear means.
What?
I reckon it means we look at the world and we see the unhappiness. And we are happy. You can't be a clown unless you're happy. You can't, because you're opening up yourself to people. You know, if I'm unhappy, there's no way I can go out and clown. But so when I feel that sorrow, it's like the opportunity that's being missed by people. They walk past as strangers. I know as a clown that everyone has a beauty in them. I know it. This is not rose-coloured at all.
No.
And I've been everywhere, believe me. And you know, those who are sad, we give them more love. That's what I think the panacea is.
Good to meet you, Susan. Clown, peace clown. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
Indeed for your time.
No worries. Thanks.